From the Director Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to increase by $125,000 from $125,000 to $250,000 and extend the term from January 1st, 2012 through June 30th, 2012 to January 1st, 2012 through December 31st, 2012, the 2012 Purchase of Services contract with Phoenix Care Systems, Inc. for the provision of crisis respite home services in the Disabilities Services Division.
Supervisor Harris.
Madam Chair, I move approval.
Okay. I have a motion for approval. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. The report talks about an issue that they have with accessibility. Mm-hmm. And it was brought to my attention that the county was sued because of this accessibility or inaccessible facility. And in just reading over this report, I get the intention or the idea that this has been an issue for several years, and it's clear that the vendor just has no intention of complying with trying to make this accessible. At least that's what it seems like.
Okay. Well, Jerry Lyday, Administrator, Disability Services Division. Let me just, in terms of context, we've actually been working with this provider for about 2 to 3 years trying to get an accessible home. And in fact, maybe a couple of years ago, we were trying, they had actually identified a home, and we were trying to find some money so that that home could be accessible. We were actually looking at working through the Economic Development Committee through the home funds. And the home funds at that time, we were going to try to give them money in order for the accessibility modifications. And the guidelines were changed so that we were no longer giving providers actual money for these types of modifications, but that we would be providing low-interest loans to providers. So they had actually sought a home. We were trying to facilitate that. That did not move forward. They were not interested at the time in the low-interest loan. So we then moved to include in our request for proposal for 212 that the crisis respite home had to be accessible, and we actually awarded them a 6-month contract and hoped that that would happen. It has not happened at this point, so we feel we need to move forward. And the suit, the issue is not that we're being, and I don't want to say specifically sued, but that there was an allegation by a family member who said that their son had had a longer length of stay in BHD because we were unable to move them out because we did not have a crisis respite home. It was the encouragement by the attorney and corporation counsel's office that our position could be much stronger if we could move to demonstrate that we do have a crisis respite home that is accessible. And we've been trying to move toward that again for the last couple of years. This is a crisis respite home that is operated in Disability Services Division, and it was an individual who had an intellectual disability as well as a mental health issue. So that is really the need for us to continue to move on to try to make this happen. At the time that we went into this contract, it was not accessible. It has since then, and it certainly makes very good sense, as you never know when you might have someone that has some accessibility needs that might to move into the home, that we would have an accessible crisis home. So it was very clear in the RFP and very clear in the contract that we were going to need to make other and seek alternative arrangements if we did not have the home accessible within the first 6 months. The vendor indicated that they had looked at a home. They were not successful in that, but that they still have some interest. But I think, you know, they certainly can respond to the RFP when we put it back out if they're still interested and believe they can meet it. But we just feel that we need to move on, not only to show that we are continuing and being very aggressive because the suit is still pending. It has not been resolved yet. And we also feel that it's necessary in the event there would be a consumer that would be referred, we need to have an accessible option.
Okay, Supervisor Sanfilippo, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to vote to approve this contract, and I think it just shows such a blatant disregard on the part of the vendor. The department seems to have been willing to work with them, you know, bend over backwards and work with them with a low-interest loan. And quite frankly, in this economy the last few years, if you can't find a home to buy relatively inexpensively and get it, I mean, it's unfathomable for me to even think that they really are serious about trying, and I don't think we should reward them by continuing to do business with them, and I'm not going to support the extension of the renewal of this contract.
You want to?
Director Small.
Madam Chair and Supervisor, what you have before you, if we do not extend this while we issue out the RFP, then the service won't be able to be provided. So we are going to issue out an RFP, and it is our hope that we get somebody that can provide an accessible site. But if we were not to approve this contract, then we would not have the services in the interim.
And we do have a 30-day out clause on the contract that's before us. So
correct.
If we do end up getting an RFP out and we have a good response and we're able to get somebody who's able to hit the ground running, mm-hmm. we would be able to start that contract before yep. this contract is up.
That is correct.
That is
okay. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you. You know, I was willing to go along with that theory based with because of the peer specialist, because it's a trained technical position that would be very hard to replace. Mm-hmm. However, a facility, if tomorrow, God forbid, there should be a fire or the roof's leaking and we have to evacuate those people, we would have to do it. And to me, this is just as serious of a situation. We're talking about just moving some individuals from a facility to another facility, and I say then that the department get in action and find another facility and move them out immediately. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Bowen, did you have something?
No, not at this time.
Okay, Supervisor Mayo. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you. I will move approval of this contract. Are you already?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, I'll support that because, bottom line, how many residents are we talking about right now?
Well, we have a contract for four, and, certainly it will take us some time to find something else immediately. We have an RFP. It's ready to go. It'll be out within the next 2 weeks. And the hope is that we'll find something sooner rather than later. So we will have to redirect individual consumers from that home, find another place. And I guess my only appeal is this is a special group of individuals in that they do present intellectual disabilities as well as mental health issues. Part of the other challenge is that there is a special design program, and one of the reasons that we went with this provider is because they do provide and have provided good service in this area. So I certainly don't want to take that away from them, and it will be a challenge to find someone that will be able to provide support to this group, which is part of the reason we've left it in place until we know that we have a provider that does present the types of credentials and standards to be able to provide services to this population.
Ms. Lide, do you know any providers out there, since you've given this other provider a glowing recommendation that they handle this particular group? As Supervisor Sanfilippo stated, it seems like they are not willing to have accessibility for all.
We know that there's some other providers out there who provide services to this same group that will be interested in responding to the RFP. And our hope is that they would, certainly bid on this contract. I mean, we can't be sure, but we have had some discussions. And we did actually have another provider who responded to this at the time of the RFP, but based on the program requirements and the review of the panel, we went with the existing provider at that time.
And one more question. Does this provider understand the seriousness of why we're going out for RSP? And also, they may not have any contracts with Milwaukee, well, this particular contract with Milwaukee County?
I believe the provider understands the seriousness of this. And, you know, certainly if they can find something in the period of time, we were hoping that they would in this first 6 months. But, you know, we have to have something that is accessible as we move on for the last 6 months of the year.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And have the families been made aware, the four residents that we have currently within?
Well, you know, the crisis respite home is such that people don't always stay for long periods of time. Sometimes the individuals are diverted from BHD. They're there for 30 days, or sometimes it's a short-term respite home while we work on either, you know, looking at the behaviors they have, trying to find a permanent option. So we really try to make sure that individuals are there no longer than 60 to 90 days. It does run longer at times, but for the most part, it's a 60 to 90 day option.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question pertains to when the opportunity was made aware that the vendor could seek financing. What was their response for not following through with that?
Well, I think the first opportunity was trying to get them the money through the home funding, which is in the housing division. And there was actually a change in how those dollars were allocated. Mm-hmm. There was concern by the board that we were giving giving agencies these funds without having them pay those funds back. So they first thought that they were going to be able to get that and make the home accessible through those dollars. And in the next discussion, when the committee said that we want to make opportunities available to agencies, but we want to give them low-interest loans that they could pay back, so there would always be kind of a recycling of those funds, and they would be available to another vendor. So at that time, what was presented to them was a low-interest loan, of which they said they were not interested at that time. Now, I don't know all of the details of that discussion, so, you know, I can't say, you know, exactly what the terms were, even if they were discussed with the terms. But, you know, these agencies at times do take, you know, quite a risk. They go out, they seek property, they make them homes accessible. They typically have only 1 year and sometimes up to 3 year contracts with the county. So if for whatever reason we decide not to pursue that again, then they are in a situation, if they have a home and have a loan, there's no guarantee that we're going to continue that. So I think they do have to explore all of their options as they look at this. But at that time when the loan was presented, it was something that for whatever reason they decided they didn't want to pursue it.
Mm-hmm. And also, was there an estimate on the cost of the improvements to make it, the home accessible?
You know, I really don't know what that cost is. The provider is here. If you're interested in that, perhaps he could share that with you. Would you like to know?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I'm Nathan Zeiger. I'm the executive director for Bell Therapy, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Phoenix Care Systems. I have... when we first entered into this discussion, we do take this very seriously. We began immediately looking for a home, and we did find a home on 3705 West Ramsey Avenue, which we went and took a look at. We had Mark Stein and Kevin Madsen of Disability Services Division there to take a look at it as well. We did do a home inspection. We did do an appraisal. We did two estimates on the modifications of that home, and we did a budget for making that home both a 6- and an 8-bed facility. Now, keep in mind that the current contract is only for 4 beds. Mm-hmm. So this is that the material that was given to Disability Services Division at the time. Now, the cost that Jerry are speaking of, she is correct, that at the time, a person said that there would be $90,000 of renovations available or money available for renovations through the Housing Trust Fund. And that just didn't play out that way. Since then, we've been still committed to trying to find a home. We made an offer in March of this year on a home, and we have three showings on Thursday. So it's not that we are still not interested. I appreciate the comments that have been made, and I think the proof is in the pudding. If it's RFP'd, it's up to us to find the home, and if we can afford the renovations based on the contract, then okay.
So we're not talking about improvements to your already existing. An estimate for the accessibility improvements to your existing home that you have for the four.
The current home that the residents are in, I need to make sure it's understood. It is a DHS licensed, a DHS 88 licensed home. It is an adult family home, and there currently are not anyone living there that has evacuation needs. They're all, we've done an evacuation assessment on everybody, and they all can evacuate on their own. But that the modifications to that home is not what we're talking about. The home itself, to do the modifications would be structural. There would be structural troubles in doing that. You know, it could make the home not livable, or the cost to it would just be so. The cost would be very high.
Madam Chair, so I'm trying to wrap my head around this. We have four individuals in a home, and the situation happened where someone that probably was wheelchair bound needed access to the same service but could not be provided that service through this home.
Yes, sir.
And there were no estimates to find out to make the home that they were currently in wheelchair accessible.
And it's my understanding, as Mr. Zeigler said, that in terms of making that home accessible, it was going to be cost prohibitive. The $90,000 for the accessibility was the offer on another home completely.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have money for the accessibility. What we will be asking in the RFP is that someone come to us with an accessible home.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that means of how they would do that. And at this juncture, you know, if they were to come to us with a home that's already accessible, it's something that we would consider.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, the home that they were talking about is not the same home that these individuals are living in. It was
right.
Another home they were going to purchase, and that home, that was the $90,000 we were trying to offer in terms of the low-interest loan. Now, one of the things we could do, if someone said, are there some possibilities through the housing division, again, through the home, you know, through the low-interest loan? You know, we could try to work within our department to see if that's possible. But it's my understanding that the current home, it was going to be pretty cost prohibitive.
That is correct, and I just want to add one more thing, and that is this has been an RFP on a yearly basis, and it continues to be so. We're being asked as a provider to front not only the cost of a home but cost of renovations to a home that we may not end up having that RFP the next year. I think Jerry mentioned that. So that is a concern that we have to face. We still know that a person who needs services needs to be able to get them, and that requires accessibility at this home. And we take that seriously. But that's the predicament that we are in.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'm kind of seeing is you possibly had the opportunity to expand by getting access to these funds, getting a bigger home, getting access to funds that you wouldn't have to necessarily be responsible for. And then in the process of those funds not being available, the current home was overlooked, and improvements weren't estimated to be made on the current home that houses the individuals that we have.
No, I, Actually, we have done an estimate on it because we, when we talked with Jerry, we did go ahead and make the estimate. It's over $100,000 to do that, and again, it's structural changes.
Right. But what I wasn't getting any numbers. I was just saying it was just too much. This is a $125,000 contract. So I just want to make sure I point that out. Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have further questions.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything further?
I just wanted to add, I was going to speak on the topic anyway, but in Jerry's proposal, it mentions moving to another 4 beds, and as a provider, I just would support that. I think this may be easier in terms of a contract if it eventually was an 8-bed facility instead of 4.
And I think that that certainly is their prerogative not to bid on it if it's not feasible in terms of an 8-bed. We put the 4-bed option in because it is, in terms of program design, it is more desirable for this group that they be in much smaller types of settings. Mm-hmm. We were thinking that maybe we could do 2 4-beds, which is one side might be accessible and the other might not, so it would give us a little bit of flexibility. I think we still, from a program standpoint, are encouraging a 4-bed if that is possible. The other thing is the contract is really $250,000 for $250,000 for the 4 beds, and it's going to be increased by another $250,000 to expand it from 4 to 8. So the total contract, this contract will be for 1 year, will be about $500,000, which will be support 4 beds. But we're just encouraging that they be 4 and 4, you know, maybe side by side.
We do have a motion for approval by Supervisor Harris. On that motion, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Harris.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Sanfilippo.
No.
Bowen.
No.
Stanford.
No.
Taylor.
No.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
3 ayes, 4 noes. The motion to approve fails.
Committee.
We'll find some places.